Peace and blessings, everybody. You're listening to The Good Brother Experience, where it is I, the good brother, the original black man. I am Reek. What you doing? How you doing? How you been? For starters, drink some goddamn water and stop being silly. We have a little over 90 days until summer, and we need to be hydrated and in shape, goddammit. And it starts right now. Secondarily, rate, review, and subscribe to my program. It's very simple. Go to wherever you're listening to this at, or if you have an iPhone, go to the podcast app. Go in your search bar and just type podcast, and it's going to pop up. Give your boy 5 stars and leave some commentary. Last but not least, if you would like to email me at goodbrotherexperience@yahoo.com. Once again, it's goodbrotherexperience@yahoo.com. All right. I got a few things to get off my chest. I have a few things on my mind. I'm going to do my best to get this between 20 and 30 minutes because I don't want to keep you guys hostage. I want to start with a discovery that I recently just went through. Maybe even a revelation, but very much so a discovery. I was in the shower and I was washing my body ever so gently because you got to treat your skin with respect. So I got the suds going. I mean, I'm singing. I'm thinking that I got the voice of Genuine in the shower. Let me so anxious. I'm over here going in. Now, I mean, I'm washing my legs because I'm not a miscreant. I'm getting the other side of my arm, the inside of the goddamn bicep, not just the outside. You got to get everything, goddamn it. Wash behind my ears, just doing my thing. And then I get out the shower. And I mean, I'm drying off. And for whatever reason, I feel like this dampness between my chest and my stomach. I'm like, oh, that's weird. So then I'm looking in the mirror and I see this crease, like a do-rag crease, but it's underneath my chest and above my stomach. I'm like, what the fuck is that? So now I'm thinking like, yo, when I sleep, am I sleeping on something hard? Or what is this crease that's perfectly symmetrical between my chest and my stomach? And then I relaxed, took a deep breath. I'm like, oh, I'm fucking gaining weight again. So now I'm on it, son. I'm on it more than ever fucking before. I'm on it like a goddamn madman. The path to 205 is happening, goddamn it, because hell no, I ain't going out like that. Because I'm not going to speak for everybody else. You know, a lot of times I make fun of people for gaining weight and, you know, it's just shit that just makes me laugh and whatever. But I'm going to talk to you about me real quick, right? I usually like to be between 200 to 215, right? You know what I mean? Fluctuating between that weight means that I can have like a crazy binge and go like 3 weeks with drinking and eating shitty. And then I can have like another 3 weeks of eating clean and my clothes are going to fit the same. I don't got to do like the inhale, exhale test when I'm trying to fucking try on pants. None of that shit, right? But then I started working out and then I started to get heavier. And I couldn't understand that. Because I was in the worst shape of my life, I want to say January 2021. Yeah, fresh out of quarantine, I was in terrible shape. And then I got into shape, but I went from 215 to 230. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm eating cleaner now. I'm working out. So I'm like, everybody says like muscle gains is more than fat. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm charging to the game. I'm walking out and about. I'm getting compliments. Ooh! Nice arms. Oh, Tariq, nice physique. Oh, I see somebody's been in the gym. What's your workout regimen? So I'm like, okay, you know what I'm saying? The people's fucking with the original. The physique is in good shape. I'm good to go. And I never really thought of anything else. Hold on, guys. I need to go get my goddamn clothes out the washing machine. Real niggas do real things. Be right back. I'm back. Where was I? Oh, yes. And another thing that kind of alerted me, but it wasn't as drastic as me seeing the fucking body crease, is I went to go put on a crew neck sweater. And I was like, you know, I don't like the way this fits. You know, this used to fit me so much better. I don't know what's going on. Like, maybe this shit shrunk or something. No, nigga. The sweater didn't shrink. Over here talking about some goddamn, I don't like the way it fits. No, nigga, you gaining weight. Looking wicked in the paint, son. Know what I mean? And the one thing that I've been trying to wrap my mind around is what the people say. You know, because when you're doing things for vanity reasons, you want some level of acceptance from the people that are looking at you, right? And when you're seeing so many things like your dad bods are in order, or when you're trying to get the opinion of people that you know, and they were like, no, you don't gotta gain weight. No, you look fine just the way you are, and all this other kind of horse shit, right? On one end, it's like, okay, maybe the physique that I have right now is in. But then I'm like, if I was out here in shape on niggas, would I garner the same response? And that also got me to thinking, the physique that I have is how serious someone is going to take me until I get rich, right? Because what you look like, I believe, is a direct correlation with the discipline that you have. So if I'm out here all loosey-goosey, got the beer gut, you feel me, unshaven, unkept, no hairline, haircut looking wicked, what the fuck does that say about how I am? I'm coming off as someone who is disheveled, especially somebody like me that's trying to get public acceptance from as many people as I can, because a lot of things that I'm doing is going to require some type of fandom or some type of listenership, some type of viewership. So if I'm over here picking up crew neck sweaters and not liking the way they look, how are the people going to view that? You feel me? That shit is not the wave. McKeon, do it, star. Yazine. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now. I mean, I'm cutting out bread during the week, cutting out liquor during the week, cutting out candy during the week. I mean, just salads and oatmeal and, you know what I'm saying, eggs and whatever have you. Crazy amounts of water, like even crazier than it was before. Like, I'm about to be a goddamn whale out this bitch, because the summer is coming. And even more than that, I'm trying to get back into sports. And this is another revelation for everybody that's over 30. If you go months and months without doing any kind of physical activity, and then you think you're about to just do some 5-minute stretch and run at full speed, you're going to get hurt. That's exactly what's going to happen to you. Because when you're younger, the one thing that's undersold is how active you are. Like, you're always at basketball practice. You're always going outside and playing. You're always hitting the courts and, you know what I mean, getting some rec going. You're walking to school. You're walking back from school. You're walking in school. You're walking out of school. You're cutting school. You're just always in motion. And then when you start to get older, your body isn't in motion. That's why things are getting tight, and that's why you're not as limber as you used to be. It all makes sense, and that's just what comes with being older. So now I'm like, all right, nigga, I'm 32, and I mean, my recovery was last month. I need to get shit in high gear. Shit ain't clicking the way it needs to be clicking. Know what I mean? I'm doing certain shit, like, you know how you take like a little jog to your car, like, all right, let me hop in the V real quick. You do that type of shit. Like, damn, son, it's like that. I did 30 push-ups yesterday. Just to be like, I'm about to get my push-up, I'm going to do push-ups, squats, crunches, push-ups, squats, crunches. That's going to be the vibe, because that's something that I can maintain. Yo, I did 30 push-ups to see what was going on, because I haven't pushed up in a little while. Super breathing. I'm like, damn, son, it's like that? I can't go out like that. So, yeah, I mean, the journey's going on in a real way, and to be honest with you guys, I'm doing anything in my power to start feeling better. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. He was like, where's the pod at, son? You be podcasting every week or whenever you get to it? And I'm like, yeah, son, I'm not trying to hit niggas with the sadathon. I'm sorry, I was talking away from the mic real quick. Like, yeah, I'm not trying to hit niggas with the sadathon. I'm just going to sad niggas up every goddamn week. Like, hey, guys, I'm still sad. How are you guys, though? Like, I can't get down like that. I'm the original. The original got to see what's happening. But something else that I've been doing with me not podcasting, and I got to cut this shit out. I got to be more consistent with y'all, and that is going to happen. I'm putting that in the universe. I need to start holding myself accountable. And we don't got, like, no executive producer. You don't got, it's just you. It's just easy to, like, not do shit. But the motivation got to come from within, and I got to keep reminding myself of that. So in these dry periods when I'm not podcasting and speaking directly to the people, I was watching Bel Air, right? I'm watching the show, and I'm like, okay, let me see what this reboot shit is talking about. Everybody's saying that it's a sensation, and the nigga that plays Will Smith is really good, and all that kind of shit, right? And acting aside, themes aside, casting aside, there's something that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed on a grander scale, and that's fucking with the ex of somebody you love. That shit is foul play, son. If I'm dating somebody and you're a close friend of mine and you date my ex, that's disrespect to the umpteenth degree. If I'm your cousin and you date my ex, that is disrespect to the umpteenth degree. I'm about to give a Bel Air spoiler right now. It's happening. So if you don't want to hear it, I'll stop talking about Bel Air around probably 16, 17 minutes. So anywho, a big part of the show is Lisa, right? Lisa is Neil Long's character from the old Fresh Prince, right? And they got her in fucking season one mad early in the game. So they're not playing around. Maybe they just think the show's going to be like three seasons. So they're just trying to jam-pack as much things as they can. And if that's the play, then I respect it. Because you got to get the money the way you get the money. So you're like, no, we can't wait till season three. Like the first version of the show. We need Lisa in here now, goddammit. So the way they got Lisa's character is Lisa is Carlton's ex-girlfriend. And it didn't work out. As things happen. I mean, sometimes shit just don't be working out. Will comes out of nowhere, catches the vibe. Carlton's like, yo, man, stay away from Lisa. Stay away from Lisa. And that's because they're feuding and shit like that. They're adversarial in the earlier parts of the episode. So Carlton's just trying to draw the line like, yo, although me and you was beefing, stay away from my ex-girlfriend. Will still does it, right? It's all real. Will throws a party for Carlton because Carlton goes into a deep depression. And he fucks Lisa for Carlton's party. He tried to put Carlton on with some very attractive black woman. Carlton wasn't feeling the vibes. Looking for Will, like, you know, I'm in a good mood, though. Where's Will at? I mean, I want to holler at him. He's coming downstairs with the pizza face while Lisa's coming downstairs to save the day because the cops shut down the party. And I don't agree with this shit, son. At all. I've never agreed with it. Whenever one of the homies starts dating somebody that the team used to fuck with, that's no good. And I don't mean the team like eight of us is on one joint. I mean, like, if I was seriously connected to a girl, the only reason why you know this girl exists is because I used to date her. It's not like we all formed this bond. We all went to a game night one night and, you know what I mean, we all just exchanged numbers because we loved each other's energy. And then every time her group of friends throw a barbecue, we go over there. Every time we throw a barbecue, they come to us. And then one thing leads to another. No, nigga, you did not meet her under those circumstances. You met her because I was fucking her for mad long, exclusively. And then things fizzled out, and then you just try to jump in. That's whack. Now, people said to me, like, oh, that's not so bad because, you know, Carlton and Will, they're not really friends like that. And although they're cousins, they don't have, like, a good relationship with one another, and sometimes this happens. That shit is foul, son. Absolutely foul. Why does, even if Carlton was super cool with Will, why does he have to tell Will, don't fuck my ex? Bro, you are in L.A., bro. You are the star of the basketball team. You're about to go to college. Shit's about to get clicking. I've seen a few episodes. They got some joints in there. He never even asked Hillary to put him on. Like, yo, Hillary, yo, get me in the game. Like, I'm out here fresh from Philly. Like, where the joints at? Where the women at? Get me in pocket. Like, I know that you're an Instagram influencer. Yo, your next Instagram influencer party, let your boy tag along. I'm trying to see what's happening. No, none of that, bro. Like, the moment he met Lisa, it was just lit, and you about to just start stroking Lisa. The one girl I'm asking not to be around, that shit is weak sauce, bro. That shit does nothing but cause a divide, and it brings awkwardness. Like, I don't know about y'all. Y'all can pretend that y'all are mature all y'all want to. But when you are family with somebody, or if you have, like, a close relationship with somebody on some friend shit, every barbecue that you're going to, they're probably going to be there. Every game night that's going on, they're probably going to be there. Every time you go to a club, they're probably coming with you. Any kind of reunion, them niggas is going to be right there because we're interwoven in each other's lives. Anything social that's going on, I'm pulling up. Anything he needs in regards to support, I'm pulling up. Anytime I need some support, he's pulling up. So the last thing that niggas need is you develop a bond with somebody that I used to mess with, and all of a sudden, I just got to act like we just never messed around before, and it's not awkward, and no, none of that shit. That shit is whack, son. Now, another thing I saw, some girl was like, yo, the thing is, we got to stop treating people like property. People are free to do whatever they please. That's whack, and it's an excuse, because you know full and well that if your best friend try to talk to your ex-boyfriend, you will look at her like she's a snake. I kind of compared it to what Cassie did to, what's shorty name, Mandy in Euphoria, getting stroked down by Nate. Now, they was like, no, Nate was abusive and manipulative. All that is true. But at the end of the day, Nate did not rape Cassie, bro. Like, Cassie, even if Nate hit her and threw her in the blender, like, yo, I want to be with you. I want to be your man. I just want us to be together. Even if Nate was doing all these things, why are you over here giving the cat to your best friend's ex-boyfriend? How? How are you coming from Philly? You was on the verge of getting killed out there. You come to this man's home. You stay upstairs with this man. You go to the same high school as this man. This man is trying to do everything in his power to save you whenever you need to, whenever you're in a jam. Even if he hates you, when you're in a jam, you come into Carlton, bro. And the one thing this nigga asks is like, yo, fam, do not fuck with Lisa. And you stroke her down during your cousin's party in your cousin's house. And nobody sees nothing wrong with that. That shit is weak, son. I'm not feeling that. Another thing that I saw, right? And this isn't to be demeaning. This isn't to be adversarial. This isn't so I'm choosing a side in this bullshit gender war that niggas is going through right now. But this just shows the split of men and women as far as our thinking and how we have so much work to do to for the both of us to be on the same page the way we need to be. In one of the scenes, right, Aunt Viv in the show is a painter. She's a renowned artist, right? Philip Banks, now, I mean, he's trying to go for a district attorney. Now I'm saying? He's running for it, but before that, they don't really dive deep into how this nigga got clicking and bought a mansion, and he's able to afford private jets and all that. But as of right now, he's in the political space. 15 years ago, she stopped painting to become a teacher and to become a mother, right? Full-time mother, teacher. She let her dreams flow to the side. Philip Banks, he held down the fort, right? 15 years later, Philip and Aunt Viv, they're having a conversation. There's been some tension between the two. And she's like, yo, I have some level of resentment towards you. Because I quit my dream for you. And I never really truly forgave you for that. Like, my dreams just fell by the wayside and you was just able to just come and save the day. And I'm tired of feeling like I need to be saved. Like, you trying to save me right now because that's just in your nature. But you should have saved me 15 years ago. And Philip sat there. He listened to her talk. They're in a super marriage. Got kids. Got a mansion. All that, right? He's listening to her talk. It's like, okay, if we're going to speak real, let's speak real. When you was heavy into this art shit, every art show you had, I was there. Anytime you needed some support, I was there. Anytime somebody wrote something about you, I read it and memorized it. I was your biggest fan. Anything that you ever did ever, In that art world, I was by your side. And you know what was happening to you during that time? You would constantly doubt yourself. You will be so stressed. You will be so unsure about yourself. You will ask me, yo, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I don't know if I'm good enough for this. Maybe I should just quit. You know, this is starting to become too overwhelming. And Envy was like, yeah, that's what all artists say. But, and then Phil was like, yeah, you're right. All artists do say that. But it was engulfing you. It was changing you. So what I did as your husband is I wanted to provide an out for you. So I was like, yo, if you want to just quit this, don't worry about that. Become a teacher. Raise the kids, and I'll hold down the fort until you can figure something out. So yes, I did provide an escape hatch, but it didn't take much convincing for you to jump through the escape hatch. And that just shows the divide of communication that we have with one another, yo. Like, she low-key vilified this man for trying to help. And it's like, yo, it just makes you feel like no matter what's going on, it's not good enough. This nigga provided a super life for you. Y'all have a fucking Jamaican butler. Y'all have a super deluxe mansion, private jets, fucking $8,000 dresses on, pearls, diamonds, everything else. And all it takes is some light-skinned nigga coming through saying, I like your art, for you to be pseudo-cheating on me. That's all it takes. We have these kids. We got this car. We can afford to just have a nigga on your side of the family just come live with us, and I'm treating him like my own son. I'm doing all this shit for you, and all it takes is, yo, you have some nice paintings, and all of a sudden you want to have, you know what I mean, full flirtatious conversation with him. Meanwhile, the only reason why you stopped painting is because you said you hated painting. So I was like, hey, so stop painting, I got us. That just shows the divide, yo. And that is so comparable to a lot of conversations I've even had with myself. With women that I've dealt with, right? Now, I'm not with Phillip Banks. I don't live in a mansion. I'm not doing none of that shit. But you say to yourself, like, yo, I'm going to do everything in my power to support you. I'm going to do everything in my power to understand you. I'm going to do everything in my power to learn about you, to be by your side, to have your back, to be a teammate. You need me? I got you. You want to talk? I'm here. You want to just get some shit off your chest? I'm right here. You need some protection? I'm front line. All this heavy shit. I treat you like gold. I speak nothing but great things about you. I speak into you. Now, I mean, I give you life. I do all this type of shit. Make you feel seen. I do one thing wrong. I'm public enemy number one. Meanwhile, I don't ask for much support. I just ask that you're a good person towards me. So I have one slip up. It's not even a fucking slip up because to me, I'm following protocol. Okay. You don't like this? I'll do it. You do like this? Let's do it. Oh, you're into this? I'm into that too. Express that to me more so I can be more knowledgeable about it. All these things. And the moment they just find, not they, the moment that there is a crack, that crack is leads to the whole dam breaking. The whole dam breaking, bro. And that shit is not cool. And I don't like that. That's a big part of what's going on an interpersonal level with men and women. Now, I mean, it's not as big as, you know, you're a renowned painter and you're canceling your dream, but it's, you think you're on the same page as somebody. You're doing everything in your power to be on the same page with somebody. You're being overly communicative so you can be on the same page with somebody. But a small infraction that can just be spoken about, so it's not an infraction anymore, it's used as ammo to hold something against you. Why is that? Why are we enemies towards one another? Even if things don't work out, why does things have to be so? I know ops culture is big right now. Like, yo, you an op, this isn't that. Men ain't shit, women ain't shit. Men are only as good as money. Bitches can't cook, all this type of shit. But all that has to end, bro. We need to really be in this together. We cannot go nowhere apart. Like, even if we have fundamental differences or, like, how we view life, there's so much division, and there's more than that. It's not just division. Everybody's so quick for there to be division. Like, the thought of, you know, no matter what, it's all about unity. It's all about teamwork. I'm in this. It's like, oh, no, he's doing something I don't like. Oh, nah, she's bugging. She's doing shit I don't like. Let me just act like she never existed. You know what I mean? She's done 1,000 great things for me. She's done one thing bad, man. Fuck this bitch, bro. Get money, fuck bitches. Like, come on, fam. Like, this has to end. I mean, and I know that was a show and that was scripted and all that, but that shit is true, yo. You can be with somebody for 15 fucking years, think that y'all on the same page, think that y'all developed a plan with one another, but then all of a sudden, 15 years later, it's, I mean, you, there's mad resentment coming your way, and you're like, huh? I mean, in my last relationship, it was like this, and the relationship before that was like this, and, I mean, it's been the other way around. It's somebody I'm dealing with thinks they're doing the best thing by me, and I'm like, man, this fucking bitch eats tuna, son. Why do you eat tuna fish, bro? And she's like, hey, do you like tuna fish? Like, do you like the smell of it? And if you don't like the smell of it, I can eat it in my car. I can eat it while I work. And I'll brush my teeth as soon as I come in. It's like, no, do your thing. I want you to express yourself. Eat the tuna fish. Now she's like, all right, I can eat tuna fish because this is just a snack I like. And meanwhile, you being Mr. Keep the Peace, and you know you hate the smell of tuna fish, my nigga. And you're going to, she's eating the tuna, and then coming to kiss you after. She's eating tuna, trying to get sexy after. She's eating tuna, then snuggling on the couch with you, talking to you directly in your face. And you know you hate the smell of tuna, bro. You know you can't stand. All it takes is, hey, as soon as you eat that tuna, can you just, like, mouthwash or just floss or something, please? And it will be like a no big deal. Okay, sure. Okay, no problem. But no, you want to be Mr. Acceptance, and now you have that resentment. And she's been eating tuna for 15 years. And 15 years ago, all you had to say was, yo, I hate the smell of that. I know you love tuna. Just do me a favor. Just I'll buy extra toothpaste. Please brush your teeth after you eat that shit. But no. So now, one day, y'all on the couch, y'all chilling, watching some Netflix, whatever. Things are going right. Wine is going. You get up to go to the bathroom. You come back. She drank your glass of wine. Like, yo, the wine is just so tasty. Like, bitch, why you always drinking my wine? It's like, whoa, why? This is about wine, babe? Yo, I can't go to the bathroom without you just drinking out my glass? How you going to drink your glass and my glass? It is never about the wine. It's about the tuna. But you don't want to talk about the tuna. And that shit, that small little thing turns into a big-ass thing over nothing. And this is what I'm saying. Everybody just so quick to be adversaries, man. It has to change, fundamentally. The same way my body has to change. This crease under my fucking chest, above my stomach, has to go. It has to. My self-esteem cannot put up with this. Hell no. Brushing my teeth or taking a shower, and I gotta fucking put my towel between my chest and my stomach? That shit don't make me feel manly. I have titties. What is that, son? I know women do that. Women fuck around. They shower up. They lift their titties up. Whoop. Dry up. Put them back down. Hell no, son. I'm not going out like that. I'm drinking water. I'm not eating fried food. I'm not eating bread. I'm eating the salad. I'm eating the apples. I'm eating the pears. I'm eating the grapes, nigga. Watermelon cubes. All that shit. It's happening. Oatmeal. Eggs, all that shit is happening in a major way because me having a crease in the vibe is a no go. Me viewing the opposite sex as it's all could until you were op, that shit is no good as well. Peace and blessings. Pass the dressing. I'll speak to y'all on Friday.